Hi, my name's Paul Grogan, and welcome to episode 66 of the All New Gaming Rules podcast. This episode is an audio version of the monthly video log for March 2024. A big thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making this episode possible, and if you want to support me directly, you can do so at patreon.com/gamingrules. Now, just before we start, I wanted to mention that there was a microphone issue when recording this video log, so apologies that the audio quality is not up to my normal standard. Anyway, let's get on with the show. In this video, as always, I'll be covering all of the games that I've played in the previous month and also an update on the channel, what's coming new for the future, some other stuff that I've covered, and all of the usual things. Before we start, I just wanted to say a big thank you to everybody who entered the contest last month, and I'm actually going to be giving you the details of that contest now. So the winner from last month's contest was Craig Cameron, who won a copy of Waterfall Park. Thank you very much, Craig, for being a patron supporter of mine. You've been with me, I think, since near the end of 2022. I will be contacting you on how I can get that prize to you. Now, this month's contest is to win a copy of Kingmaker 2nd Edition, which was kindly donated to me by Alan Paul of Surprise There Games, who's actually the designer stroke developer of the new edition of the game. Now, to enter the contest, all you need to do is click on the link in the description of this video. There is a Google form where it asks you for your name, your email address, and all sorts of things like that. Don't worry, I delete all of that information after I've done the draw, so I don't keep it for any other reasons. And also, if you are a patron supporter of mine, you get extra entries into the contest. And in addition to that, you need to leave me a comment in this video. So leave me a comment in this video as to which of the games that I talk about over the next hour is your favorite game, or which one of you played that you really didn't like. I'm really curious and always interested to find out which of the games that I covered did people like, dislike. Let me know. So yes, to enter the contest, you need to do two things. Leave me a comment in this video, and also click on the description, click on the link in the description of this video to enter the actual contest. And I will be doing the draw sometime around the end of April, start of May, something like that. So you've got about a month to enter this contest. And thank you very much to Alan for donating me a copy of the game. Alan has said that he will be able to ship the game to anywhere in the world except for Brazil or any country that's at war. Considering most of the world seems to be at war at the moment, I don't know where that will ship to. But anyway, good luck with that if you enter the contest. Now, last month's video log was long. This one might be longer. I've got a lot of games here to talk about, and I'm very excited to talk about some of them. And the problem that I have when I get excited to talk about a game, I could talk about that game for 20 minutes, and I've got about 30 games to cover here, so we'll see how we get on. I've also just noticed that Loki's joined me. Are you coming up? He's not even squeaking. He normally squeaks when he comes in. Are you coming up? Monthly video log. No? Not interested. Right. Let's crack on. 1st of March. Seems so long ago now. This is live on the channel. If you are interested in watching this, this is a playthrough of La Granja using the Deluxe Master Set that was produced by Board and Dice. Now, La Granja is an older game that was originally published by, I think, Spielworks and Stronghold Games. But Board and Dice got the rights to it and basically picked it up and did this deluxe master set with basically nicer versions of the components, updated rulebook and all sorts of things like that, and loads of additional modules and expansion sets. I did cover this game when it was on Kickstarter. I did a sponsored playthrough for Board and Dice where I played the game on Tabletop Simulator. And then, of course, X amount of months later, the final game arrives. Now, I remember La Granja being a game that I really enjoyed. I've got the original version of the game, and I've played it a whole bunch of times, so I was very excited to see a new, updated version of it, even though the game is still exactly the same. I don't think they've changed anything with the game whatsoever, apart from clarified some of the cards. It's just it's all of these additional modules to give you extra replayability. The video is live on the channel if you want to watch that. It is a tutorial and playthrough video where I teach two friends how to play, and then we play it. And that was not a sponsored video. So we do give our thoughts on the game at the end of it. So I'll give you a quick summary here, but if you really want to know what we think about La Granja, not just my opinion, but the other players as well, head on over to my channel, check out the video from the 1st of March 2024, skip to the end, and that's where we actually give our review on the game. Basically, though, I love it. I think La Granja is a fantastic game. I really enjoy the mechanisms of the game, and the way that it plays out. I like the pace of the game. I like the decision space in the game. It's hard to find any kind of problem with that game. I know some people might not like the player interaction that goes on in the marketplace, which is I mean, it's not really take that. You can put a piece on the board and it will knock off somebody else's piece, but you're not deliberately doing it to screw them over. That's just the way that the game plays. But yeah, really enjoy it. Now, we did play with one of the modules. We played with the Broken Roofs module, which is a new module, so I've never played with that before. I've only ever played the base game. I am keen to try some of the other modules because some of those look quite interesting. Some of them can be incorporated quite easily, other ones are a little bit more complex. But the Broken Roofs one was interesting because, and this will only make sense if you know Le Granja, but basically the roof tiles that come out every round, they get more and more expensive. So in round one, a roof tile cost one. In round two, a roof tile cost two. In round three, it costs three, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now the roof tiles don't actually get any more powerful. In fact, they get weaker, which is really unusual. You're paying more even though the tile is weaker. And the reason for that is the more of these roof tiles you buy, the more points you get. So the one that you will buy on round four will cost you four money and it won't really have a powerful effect, but it will get you a whole bunch of points. I think it might even be 4 points or something like that. Now, the Broken Roof Tiles is interesting. So each year or each round of the game, one of these Broken Roof Tiles gets added in. The Broken Roof Tile always costs one, but it has no ability on it. And initially, when I first set the game up, I was like, OK, well, you're not going to buy that. You'll buy that if you don't have the money to buy it. Otherwise, you won't buy it because you want to buy a tile that's got an ability. However, money is really tight in this game. And we were finding that whoever was the first player in that particular phase of the game was actually buying the Broken Roof Tile because it was basically a way of getting a roof tile really cheap. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the Broken Roofs module. That's Le Granja. It's on the channel, as I say. If you want to see a playthrough of it, you can. If you want to skip to the end of the video, you can see our detailed thoughts. Also on that day, according to my board game log, we played Soul Clover. I have no memory of playing Soul Clover, but my guess is that we went downstairs after the game of Le Granja and we played a couple of games of Soul Clover. That would be my guess. Who knows? Then on the 3rd of March, I played Mythwind. Now, I spoke about Mythwind a little bit in the previous month's video log, and I've actually played it a few times this month. So on the 3rd of March, I got it out and we actually played Season 1 with Vicky. Now, Mythwind is a game which I thought Vicky might like because it's fairly low pressure. There's no, you know, driving big bad enemy force trying to kill you or anything like that. It's just a relaxing game that you can take at your own pace. The rules are relatively simple and you have a nice feeling of progression within the game, no matter which character you play. We played Season 1 and then I persuaded her, I think a few days later or a week later, and we went back and we played Season 2. I have also done a practice game with a couple of friends, Emily and Becky, where we played through, again, Seasons 1 and 2, which was on the 27th, and then I covered it on the channel. So all of those games that I've just mentioned, you can't see them. They were played here, but the live playthrough we did on the 29th is public, and that is on the channel now if you want to see that being played. So the live playthrough we did was a three-player game, me, Becky and Emily playing the crafter, the farmer and the merchant. And we actually played through Season 3 of the game. So we played through Autumn, or for those of you watching in America, Fall, as you call it over there. But it's basically, it's the third season of Year 1. We had planned to actually play Autumn and Winter. We'd planned to play two seasons of the game, but it took us just over 2 hours and we'd only managed to play one season because I was explaining things as we go and stuff like that. So anyway, there's a video on the channel which you can watch to see how Mythwind plays. The reason why I wanted to do a three-player game is that there are a lot of other videos for Mythwind going around at the moment. A few of them are sponsored, a few of them are not sponsored, but when I was looking for videos on Mythwind, I was finding a lot of solo or solo two-handed videos. I didn't find any, and apologies if there are some and I've missed them, with people playing with three or more players. So I really wanted to show off the three-player aspect of the game because I believe it does have a slightly different feel to it in the way that the town actions work and the cooperation between the players. The cooperation between the players is fairly light because there's zero player interaction with the game. Now, Mythwind. I'll talk about it briefly here, bearing in mind the video that I did last week was a sponsored video by the publisher. Thank you very much to Brendan and the other people at Open Owl Studios for sponsoring me to create that video. But Mythwind, the way I've summarized it is it stands alone. Now, I've been playing games for a very, very long time. I've been playing games for over 40 years, and I've been playing games seriously for about, I don't know, 20, 25 years, something like that. I've played hundreds of games, and I've played lots and lots of different styles of games. And then there's Mythwind. I can't think of another game like Mythwind at the moment, because it's doing something different. And I said this in the video. All credit to the designers and the publisher of this game for breaking out of the mold and doing something different. And that difference is what makes the game exciting, what makes the game something different enough that people are talking about it, but also that's the reason why it's had a number of negative reviews. Now, these negative reviews are all focusing, from the ones that I've read anyway, on the fact that the game doesn't have this end goal. It doesn't have this big epic feel or anything like that. It is doing something different. If you want a game that you can sit down in an afternoon and just go, tell you what we're going to do this afternoon, I'm going to plant some vegetables, I'm going to water the crops, I'm going to breed some cows, I'll sell them, I'll make a bit of money. What was the objective? Oh, the objective was to do this. Sure, yeah, we did that quite easily. Right, next season. There's no time limit on this game. You can take as long as you want to play this game. And the reason why this is advertised as a game that you could theoretically play forever is because you can. You can just keep rinsing and repeating and you can do the same thing. Now, the good thing about the game is that it is fairly accessible. It is a game that you could relatively easily play with non-gamers, although it has simultaneous play, so you do need to make sure everybody knows how their particular character works, rather than just leaving them to it, because they might go off and play something completely wrong. The production quality is fantastic. The save system and the way that everything goes in the plastic trays and then you just pop it all back in the box, really good. They've really put a lot of effort into that and it shows. The storyline of the game is fairly light. There is a bit of a narrative and there is an evolving story, but it's a fairly light story. It's nice, but it isn't your, you know, epic, big fantasy narrative game with, you know, big monsters appearing or anything like that. As I say, it's a very different style of game. If I had a pound for every time I said it's a different style of game in this video, I'd be very rich. So that's it. I think that's that's probably it. Now, Mythwind is back on Kickstarter right now with some tweaks to the base game, because there are some tweaks that are needed. A couple of the characters don't work quite as well as they should, or are overpowered. So they're making some tweaks to the characters. But in the new expansion set that's going to be released, they are actually having interaction between the players, because at the moment, there is no interaction. You will discuss together what you want to do in the town phase, but then after that, you're going and doing your own thing. And the two characters are completely unrelated. But in the new expansion, I believe that they are working on ways that one character might do something which could then be used by another character. So that seems quite interesting. What I'm going to do is I'm actually now going to put the game away, and it's going to go on the shelf. And the reason for that is I've got so many other games to play, but I don't want to play anymore because I am curious about these changes that are going to be made. So for me, because it's a game that I will probably only ever play through once, although it has different characters and each character is so different, maybe I would play it more than once. But I kind of want to wait until they've tweaked these characters in order to carry on playing. So yeah, Mythwind is going in the box and is going back on the shelf for now. I will happily play it for a bit if somebody else wants to play it or lend it to some local groups or whatever. But once they've released the tweaks and the expansion, that's when I'm going to go back to it. So yeah, that's Mythwind. Next up, on the 4th of March, Inventions, Evolution of Ideas. This is Vitor Lacerda's next big box game. I say his next one. It's the one that's actually being delivered right now. In fact, some people have already got their copies of it. I got my copy of it. It's just over there. And on the 4th of March, Scott Hill, along with Shelley and John, taught me how to play and we played a game. This was online. And this was my first real proper introduction to the final version of the game. So a big shout out to Scott Hill. Thank you very much. And to Shelley and to John for, you know, giving up your afternoon and basically teaching me how to play. We didn't manage to play a full game, but I got a very good idea from that playthrough of how the game actually plays. I haven't actually played a full game of it yet, but what I've now done is I've finished the script. The script for the upcoming How to Play video is now finished. Vitola has seen it. He's added some comments to it, which I need to go back to. And filming starts next week. So I need to get this week out of the way first. And then next week, I am actually going to be starting to film the How to Play video for Inventions. I'm also going to be playing it this Sunday, but more on that later on. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Impressions of the game, bearing in mind, I am professionally involved in it and I'm creating the How to Play video. I'm quite excited about it. It's going to be very difficult for me to rate it among Vital Lacerda games, considering I haven't played a full game of it yet. But my initial impressions is it's probably going to be in the top half. It's probably going to be... I mean, I don't know, it might end up being my favourite one. I'm not sure. I enjoyed that playthrough of it, and I need to play it more to see how much I actually enjoy it. Right, moving on, Aeon Trespass Odyssey, that I have been talking about in these video logs for how long? 9 months? I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Well, maybe a bit, because our campaign has finished. We did 3 more sessions of Aeon Trespass Odyssey in March. We did one on the 5th, one on the 12th, one on the 19th. These were all live streamed to Patreon supporters. So if you are a Patreon supporter of mine, you have access to those videos. And our campaign is finished. We finished cycle 1. Cycle 1 is the first of 5 cycles of the game. And after 27 game sessions of about 3 to 4 hours each, we finished cycle 1. We arrived back in Knossos. We fought the main boss at the end of the cycle. We didn't manage to kill it. Now, the big boss battle that you have at the end of cycle 1 is a fight to the death. And if you do not succeed, that's it. The campaign is over. And you technically have to restart the campaign and play it again. Now, we didn't want to do that. We've spent the last 9 months playing this game. But one thing that is great about this game is that you do have this special resource called the Sisyphus Tear. And every time you have a battle that doesn't go your way, you can use the Sisyphus Tear to replay the battle. So if we were playing the game as it technically should be played, we lost that battle. We did manage to deal 8 wounds out of 10 to Menos, which was fantastic. I thought we were only going to get 3 or 4. What we could have done is we could have said, right, we didn't manage to succeed, spend one of the Sisyphus Tears, replay the battle, try again. We had 6 Sisyphus Tears. So technically, we could have spent the next 6 weeks replaying that battle over and over and over again until we actually succeeded. It gave us basically 6 redos. And if we didn't manage to succeed, then the campaign is over and we start again. If we do manage to succeed, you get the good ending and the campaign can carry on to cycle 2. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to spend the next 6 weeks of our lives replaying the same battle over and over again. If I had lots and lots of extra time, I would probably replay it at least once, maybe twice, just to give it a really good go. But ultimately, yeah, we decided that we read the negative outcome and then we read the positive outcome. And if we do ever play Cycle 2 in future, and it is simply just a case of lack of time and too many other campaign games, then we would just carry on from there. So yeah, now one thing that I do want to mention about it is the end of cycle 1 was really cool. The wrapping up of the story, the narrative of this game has been some of the best narrative in a game that I've ever read. The story, the epicness of the story has been utterly fantastic. And I really enjoyed the after credit sequence at the end of cycle 1. So at the end of cycle 1, you basically turn to a particular chapter in the book and you read all of that text. And then it says, and now go to this page for the credits. And you turn to that page and it's like the credits of a film. It's a list of everybody who was involved in the game. And then after the credits, it says, now go to such and such a thing to read an end credit sequence. And you turn to this bit and you read it out and it's literally the same as an end credits bonus sequence at the end of one film, ready to launch you into the next one. And it was fantastic. It really was well done and well written. So yeah, thank you very much to Into the Unknown for giving us that experience. Yeah, but it's over. It's been a long voyage. It's been a long journey. And more news on Aeon Trespass Odyssey later on. Next up, the 7th of March. This was at the local games club in Cranbrook, and I played 2 games that evening. The first game I played was Wrath from Chip Theory Games, and then we played Spellbook. Now, I'm going to talk about Spellbook first, because I also played Wrath the following day, so I'll come to that back in a minute. Now, Spellbook is a game that I have played 2 or 3 times now, and it came out at Essenspiel last year, and I am still undecided on Spellbook. I don't know. I've spoken to a lot of people that really didn't like it. And that has made me, because initially I was like, I really enjoyed this game. This game's great. And then I played it again. And I was like, oh yeah, this game's really great. I like this game. And then I spoke to loads and loads of people that went, eh. So These are people whose opinions I respect and I trust and usually like similar types of games to me. So the next couple of times I've played it, I've gone into it with a, right, am I just over-enjoying myself for, I don't know, some reason? Do I actually, is this game a good game? Anyway, I've played it twice since and I'm still undecided. I don't know. There's something about this game that's a bit weird. It's nice, but I don't think it has... Yeah, it doesn't have enough. Now, bearing in mind, I've only played with the basic set of cards, and I think the game is going to become a lot more interesting with the advanced cards. But also, it's a short game. This is like a 45-minute game. I think we played, with a full teach, we played a game in 45 minutes. So for me, if it's a 45-minute game, it doesn't have to be, you know, absolutely perfect or amazing. It just has to be enjoyable for that period of time. I still want to play it more because I want to play with these additional cards and things like that. But if you have played the game, let me know what you think about it, because I don't hear many people talking about this game, and I want to know what you think about it if you have played it. One concern I have about the game, and one thing that I am not keen on in the game, is that it's too slow to get going. You probably play the first 3 or 4 turns not really doing very much. And I'm like, why didn't the game just give you more stuff to start with? Because everybody for the first few rounds of the game is just gathering some of the tokens and then putting a thing on here, your go, gather 2 tokens, put one on here, your go, gather 2 tokens, put one on here. I don't know. My only thinking is that one of the things that you can do on your turn is to spend one of your materia, which are the resources that you're collecting, to place it on your cauldron. And the more you place on your cauldron at the end of the game, the better. And in most games I've played, everybody has gone, I'm going to take 2 tokens and put one on my cauldron. I'm going to take 2 tokens and put one on my cauldron. And that, I think, is why the progress is slow, because you need these tokens to buy spells. And next time I play, I'm actually not going to put one on my cauldron. And that might be why the game starts off slow, because if you are taking 2 tokens and putting one on your cauldron, it is going to be a slow start, because you're not going to have enough to be able to buy a spell early. Whereas if I go into the game and I say, right, I'm going to take 2 tokens, I'm not going to put one on my cauldron. And the next turn, I'm going to take 2 tokens and I'm going to buy a spell. Suddenly, I'm ahead of the curve in buying a spell. But intuitively, everybody always seems to want to put a token on their cauldron because that's worth points at the end of the game. Anyway, let me know what you think about it. I'm going to try and get a game of Spellbook in this coming weekend. Right, next up, Wrath. So I played Wrath at the club on the 7th, and then we did a live playthrough on the 8th. This is a new game coming from Chip Theory Games that is very different from everything else they've ever done, in that the price point is low. It's a area control game with a lot of fighting between the players. Okay, Chip Theory Games normally do fighting between the players. It doesn't really have many chips in it. And yeah, it's an external designer, which they don't normally do. They normally design everything in-house. I had the privilege of covering the game. It was an early access prototype. And since covering the game has already changed quite a bit. Now, if you're interested in it, I think the crowdfunding campaign has finished, but we showed off a 4-player game of this. And this is on the channel now if you want to go and see it. It's on the 8th of March, and it was a 4-player playthrough of Wrath. It was interesting, but I felt that the game needed some tweaks. That's my honest opinion on the game. And it was fun, but certain things needed tweaking. And I know for a fact that they've already tweaked those things. So that's the thing. I know I've been keeping an eye on what's been going on in the game, and they've already made a number of changes and they've clarified a number of things. And all of the issues that I had with the playthrough was really not fully understanding how particular abilities worked. They've clarified all of that already. So the final product for that game is going to be fantastic. And I do look forward to playing the final version with all of the rules tweaks that we had, with all of the rules queries that we had sorted out. But yeah, that's it. If you backed or didn't back Wrath because of my video, let me know. Next up, on the 10th of March, 2 sessions of Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth. So normally we meet up with Mark and Sally once or twice a month, and we are playing through Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth. We've played through all of the original campaign, and we are now playing through the Shadowed Paths campaign. But I felt that I wasn't playing enough of it. And the reason for that is because Agamonia has arrived. And Agamonia is a game which I think would really fit well with the group of people, me, Vicky, Mark and Sally. So basically, I've said to everybody, look, I want to be playing more Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth. so that we can finish it, right? I want to play it. I enjoy playing it. And I do want to play to the end of the campaign, but I want to play quicker so that we can get onto Agamemnon. So we played two sessions, and we've even got a session tomorrow night as well. And yeah, we are continuing the Shadowed Paths campaign, and we're just enjoying it. I mean, I've spoken about Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth countless times over the last few years, so I'm not going to go into more details of it anymore. But yeah, we're playing the Shadowed Paths campaign, and it's nice. I've been painting some of the miniatures as well. More on that later as well. Next up, on the 13th of March, I got the opportunity to play Galactic Cruise with the designers. So the three designers of Galactic Cruise joined me for a live stream on the 13th of March. This video is on my channel now. It's a long video. It's 4 hours long because it was a full game and we were playing remotely and over Tabletop Simulator. So it's always going to be a bit slower. This wasn't a sponsored video. I agreed to do this because I think Galactic Cruise is a fantastic game and I wanted to see what the expansions had to offer. So I agreed. I said, look, I'll happily give up an evening. I'll play a game with you online, to help the campaign and show people what's in the expansions. But that wasn't a sponsored video. I didn't get paid anything for that one. It was good. In fact, one of the expansions I will probably always use, one of the modules in one of the expansions, because it's two expansions, each of which contains a whole bunch of modules, and you can choose as many modules as you want. And even the designers have said, do not play a full game with all of the modules. It's just too much. You need to chop and change and use whatever bits you want to use at the time. But there's one of them that I would definitely always use, which is the one where you get to start with one of your upgrade tiles already there on a planet. It's possibly one of my only few slight, very minor criticisms of the game, in that you will play a full game of this and you will have only unlocked possibly 4, maybe even 5 of your upgrade tiles out of the 8 that you've got. And it can be a little slow to get that first one out there. So the prelude module, as I'm calling it, is where you remove one of those upgrade tiles and place it on one of the destinations straight away, thereby giving you more of an asymmetric start at the start of the game, because you're like, hey, look, I've got a cool special ability that applies right now. So yeah, I would probably use that one all of the time. If you're interested in Galactic Cruise, then definitely check it. If you're interested in Galactic Cruise expansions, check out that video. If you're interested in Galactic Cruise, check out my actual tutorial and playthrough video, which was filmed with friends that are here. And speaking of Galactic Cruise, I did a bonus playthrough for my Patreon supporters on the Friday just gone. So Good Friday, I hosted a games day here, and I got some friends who wanted to learn how to play Galactic Cruise and wanted to play it. So we did that as a bonus playthrough for my Patreon supporters on Friday. And that was a 4-player full game, not the introductory game and not the recommended first setup. We played the full game and it was really good. And I didn't win. Next up. Right, I'm going to need a cup of tea for this one. Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin. I have gone on record in the past and said that the original Tainted Grail game is probably, I say probably, forget the word probably, is my favourite narrative-driven experience ever. I think the writing and the setting and the stories and the immersiveness of the Tainted Grail universe, for me, nothing beats it. It's just, there's certain things about it. The mixture of Arthurian legend with the weird monsters and the character involvement in the world and the dark setting of it. I just absolutely love it. That's the original Tainted Grail. Tainted Grail Kings of Ruin is a new game in the Tainted Grail universe. It's a standalone game. It's not an expansion set, but it actually does things very different. It was quite delayed. I was due to cover this game originally in like August of last year, or maybe then December. And anyway, it got put back and put back. The game finally arrived. And on the 15th, I got a chance to actually play it. So me and Pete did a practice game on the 15th in the afternoon. And then Rob joined us in the evening. And that is on the channel now. So tutorial and playthrough of Tainted Grail Kings of Ruin is on the channel 15th of March. 3 players. Since then, though, I have played it a whole bunch. So, Vicky, played the original Fall of Avalon Tainted Grail campaign with me and was actually quite looking forward to the Kings of Ruin campaign. Having played those two games on the 15th, I was like dripping with excitement. I really just wanted to play it. And since then, me and Vicky have played it many, many times. I've lost track of the amount of times we played it. Basically, we've had it left set up downstairs on the dining room table, and we went back to it for like an hour a day or a couple of hours here and there. We are now at the end of chapter 3. There are 10 chapters included in Kings of Ruin. We are at the end of chapter 3. We've probably put in about, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 hours so far. My thoughts on the game, bearing in mind I did do a sponsored playthrough video, it's the game that I am most enjoying at the moment. Again, from a narrative story point of view, the writing is amazing. The stories are really, really good. The world, the setting, I am completely and utterly immersed in the game. And also, I am enjoying the actual gameplay and the mechanisms. Now, for those of you that don't know, the original Tainted Grail game, Fall of Avalon, came in for a lot of criticism about the difficulty and the amount of grind and the amount of punishment. And it was just, it needed house rules in order to have a game that flowed better and a better playing experience. They have fixed all of that with King of Ruin. Absolutely all of it. In fact, all it needed was a few tweaks here and there. And suddenly you've got this game which is like no longer as punishing as it used to be. It's still hard. You've still got to really think about things. And you still can't just go into fights just, you know, all guns blazing. You've really got to be careful. But yeah, it's been really, really good. I can't really say too much because of spoilers. But yeah, the experience of playing has been fantastic and can't wait to play more of it. Really, really enjoying it. It is the game that I am enjoying the most at the moment, and I just want to play more of it. So yeah, that's Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin. Will there be any more Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin content coming to the channel? Unfortunately not, because I'm playing it with Vicky and we're playing downstairs in the dining room. So yeah, there won't be any actual more content coming to the channel, but I will be talking about it over the next few months. Next up, on the 20th of March, and then on the 21st, and then twice more on the 22nd, is Windmill Valley. So I've played Windmill Valley 4 times in March. First of all, there was a learning game where Board and Dice took time out in the afternoon and taught me how to play the game. Thank you very much for that. Then on the 21st, I took it to the local Cranbrook group and I played a game of it there. And then on the 22nd, friends came over in the afternoon. We played a practice game of it there, and then we did the live stream in the evening. So that's the one that's on the channel. If you want to learn more about Windmill Valley, this is a game coming from Board and Dice. It's going to be released in the summer of this year. I believe UK Games Expo is going to be the actual launch of the game. You can pre-order it from Board and Dice, but it's not Kickstarter. It's not crowdfunded whatsoever. You can pre-order it from Board and Dice, but it is a straight-to-retail game. It's by Danny Garcia, who also did Barcelona and various other games. And yeah, I'm playing it again this weekend because I think it's really good. Windmill Valley is a really nice game where you upgrade your action wheels. Basically, the core mechanism of the game is that you've got these two gears that interlock with each other, and you are, each of them at the start of the game does basic actions, but one of the things you can do is you can upgrade those gears for improved actions. And then when you turn the one on the left, the one on the right turns. It's really, really nice. But it's a medium weight game with the added complexity that one action might chain into another one, which then might chain into another one. So you just need to keep track of where you are. But yeah, played it 4 times, really enjoyed it. And if you're interested in hearing more about it and seeing how it plays, that video is on the channel right now. Also at the club, after the game of Windmill Valley, because we had half an hour free, I was like, okay, we got half an hour free. What should we do? We'll play Six Nimmt. I've not played Six Nimmt for a very, very long time. Six Nimmt, or Take Five, as it's called in the UK, I believe, is a very, very simple card game that is one of the first games that I was playing when I seriously got into board games in the late 90s. Played it loads. It's a bit of fun. It's quite random, but we played it for 20 minutes and it was fun. And that's it. So that's Six Nimmt. Now, just going back to the 22nd, I mentioned that I had friends over in the afternoon and we did the practice game of Windmill Valley. Well, that's not all we did on that day. No, Marcus came over, good friend of mine, and we played five games of Mindbug Battlefruit Kingdom. Two of those were streamed, so if you're interested in seeing those, they are on the channel now. It was a live stream that was done on the 22nd of March. So Marcus came over, we played three games of it to practice, and then we did the live stream, and in that live stream, we managed to get two games in. Mindbug Battlefruit Kingdom is the latest standalone game in the Mindbug series. It's not quite out yet. And in fact, there's going to be two of them. There's going to be Battlefruit Kingdom and Battlefruit Galaxy. We played Battlefruit Kingdom, and Mindbug is a really, really good game. It's a very, very simplified two-player battling card game, which fixes all of those issues that there are with every other two-player battling card game, in that you buy a deck of cards and that's it. And at the start of the game, you shuffle the cards and you deal 10 each, and that is your deck, right? There's no collectible nature to it or anything like that whatsoever. The different expansions just give you more cards to play with. But it's basically, it's a game that takes anywhere from, I don't know, 5 minutes to, well, we played one game that I think was about 30 minutes long. That is very rare, very unusual. It's like a 5 to 15 minute game normally, and you've just got to try and deal 3 points of damage to your opponent. The twist in the game, if you don't know Mindbug, the twist in the game is twice during the game, when your opponent plays a card, you can say, I'm going to have that. And that's it. That is an absolute genius idea, because in any game like that, you will get cards of different power levels, and the Mindbug mechanism basically balances the game. And suddenly it becomes a game of, when do you use the Mindbug? And the bluffing element, oh, I'm going to play this card. Oh, you're going to mind bug that, are you? All right, you're now out of mind bugs. Right, I'm now going to play this card. Yeah, it's just fantastic. Really, really enjoy Mindbug. Can't remember when the base game came out. Probably about 4 years ago now. But anyway, keep an eye out for those. They are coming out later this year. So that's Mindbug, Battlefruit Kingdom, and Battlefruit Galaxy. Then, finally, on the 26th, last Tuesday, a week ago today, I'm recording this video on the 2nd of April, 2024. So last Tuesday, we started the ISS Vanguard campaign and we're continuing it tonight. Now, for those of you who have followed my channel for quite a while, you might be thinking, well, didn't you already start the campaign like a year and a half ago? And yes, I did, but we've started again. And we've actually started this time to play it through to completion. So last week, we played the tutorial scenario where we landed on TOI-2 and we went through all of that story stuff. And tonight we're going to be landing on Pellucid, which is a fixed scenario that you do next. But I believe after Pellucid, it kind of opens up. ISS Vanguard, if it weren't for Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin, would be the game that I'm enjoying the most at the moment. Even though I've only played one session, I love the setting of ISS Vanguard, and I love the fact that we're going to be exploring, we're going to be upgrading our ship, we're going to be going on these adventures. It's the same designer. It's the same writer that did ISS Vanguard and did Tainted Grail. So there's obviously something in me that likes what this designer is doing. So yes, ISS Vanguard last Tuesday, and we're also going to be playing it again tonight. The ISS Vanguard streams on a Tuesday night are live streamed for Patreon supporters. And the reason why they are Patreon only is it's round at a friend's house with a webcam on top of a box of games. It's really low quality, and it's not the kind of video that I would want really on the public channel. But I'm more than happy to share these videos with my Patreon supporters. So if you're a Patreon supporter of mine, you get to watch our playthroughs of the ISS Vanguard campaign on a Tuesday night, or you can watch them back later if you want to. Now let's move on to the other games that I've played in the last month online using a combination of Board Game Arena, the Heroku app website, and various other things. So Le Grange, I mentioned that I've played a game of that using the physical version of the game right at the start of March. I have played another game of that on Board Game Arena. So if you want to play Le Grange, it is available on Board Game Arena. It is the original version of the game, but it's exactly the same game, just without all of the expansion modules, and the graphics look a bit different. I've played a game of Federation. Federation is a fantastic game, and I am more than happy to keep playing games of Federation on Board Game Arena. I don't seem to be getting any better at it. I'm okay at the game, but I've reached a point with Federation where I don't know how to get better. And I think I just need to play it more and see what the other players are doing. I always think I'm doing quite well, and then I don't win. So yeah, Federation is a really, really good game, but I've reached my plateau of how good I can get at the game without actually spending more time thinking, right, how am I going to get better at this game? Also played a game of Talon. Now, Talon is a very, very not, well, it's a very, very, it's an underrated game. I think it's a fantastic game, but it's not well known about. This is a spaceship combat, tactical combat game, which is a very, very streamlined version of Federation Commander, which was a very, very streamlined version of Starfleet Battles, which is a game from the 80s that I got when I was a lot younger and spent half of my life reading these rules and trying to play the game. So I really, really enjoyed Talon, and I've got a physical copy of the game, and somebody has done an implementation on Board Game Arena. As I say, this game is not really well known about at all, but I really like it. And there is a Board Game Arena implementation of it. It does have dice for combat. The amount of ones that I rolled in that game was shocking. Anyway, quick game of that. Then I've played a game of Heat on Board Game Arena. I played a game of Architects of the West Kingdom because I've played Architects of the West Kingdom and I decided that I wanted to play more of it, and it was on Board Game Arena, so I played a game of it. Now, this is a funny game of Architects of the West Kingdom. The implementation on Board Game Arena is very, very good, but I went into the game thinking, okay, I don't actually remember how to play this game. I will pick it up as I go along. And there are various points in the game where I had to sort of go, I don't know what I'm doing next. Let's go and open the rule book and read something in the rule book. But there were other parts of the game where I kind of just went, oh, it's my turn. Oh, I'm a bit busy with something. I'll just do that. And I made some moves in the game where I didn't really know what I was doing. And I remember running out of workers like twice. And running out of workers is a bad thing because then you have to spend an entire turn taking one of them back. Anyway, the game ended and I won. And I'm like, how did I do that? And people said, well, you managed to do this and this and this. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, I want to play that more because I do enjoy it. And now that I sort of half know how to play the game. I've also played another game of Wingspan on Board Game Arena. I'm still undecided on Wingspan. I enjoyed it, but yeah, still not sure about it. And I played a game of Forest Shuffle using the new expansion. So Forest Shuffle has got a new expansion coming out very soon, which I've actually got a physical copy of. But you can play it on Board Game Arena with the new expansion. And the big question is, does it fix the problem with the wolves and the deer? I've not played it enough to know. Some people have said it helps, but it doesn't fix it. Other people still maintain that there isn't a problem with the wolves and the deer. But anyway, Forest Shuffle is on Board Game Arena. It's a nice game. Really do enjoy playing it. Still undecided as to exactly how much I enjoy it, but I do enjoy it. And I've played two games of Terraforming Mars using the Heroku app website. Both were amazing games. Both were very, very different. In one of the games, I remember playing the corporation that basically means my titanium is worth more. And then I got the starting card, which meant my titanium was worth even more. And then I got another starting card that increased my production of titanium. It was like, suddenly in a deck of like 300, 400 cards, I've got all of the cards that work well together for this particular thing. Well, not all of them, but enough of them. So I played this game where I was getting this massive discounts on space cards, and I was generating like 5 or 6 titanium a turn, and every titanium was worth 5 or 6 discount. It was crazy. It was a really, really fun game. And then I played another game, which I can't remember as much in detail, but again, everything just seemed, I seemed to get the right things, and I managed to get loads and loads of science icons, which is normally really hard to do. But I got the card that says every time you play a science icon, add a tag. And then every time you, and then when you've got two tags, remove them to draw a card. And another one that's every time you play a science tag, you can discard a card to draw a card. And then another one that said every time you do a science tag, you've got this. And I managed to get loads and loads and loads of science tags to the point where I got that card which requires 5 science tags to play or 7 to play or something like that, which is normally really difficult to do. But I managed to get them all. And it was a crazy game, really, really crazy game. One of them I won, one of them I came second by a point. But Terraforming Mars is definitely a top 10 game for me. I could play it 100, 200, 300, 400 times and never get bored of it. It's just fantastic. That's the end of all of the games that I've played in the last month. So other videos that have been on the channel, I did an unboxing video for the Tainted Grail Kings of Ruin. So if you're interested in seeing everything from Tainted Grail Kings of Ruin, because Awakened Realms did send me the big box with everything in, thank you very much. I've also done an unboxing video for Inventions, Vitor Lacerda's game. I did an interview with Phil Pettifer about the upcoming Mage Knight expansion. So yeah, for those people who don't know, Mage Knight is going to be getting another expansion. It's been many years since the last one. And I got to interview Phil Pettifer, who is the lead designer on this new expansion. So that is on the channel now if you're interested in watching that. And there is also an interview about the Earth expansion on the channel as well. Other things that I've been doing offline games, we have completed all of the testing for the scenarios of Perspectives 2. So Perspectives is a game from Space Cowboys that's designed by Dave Neal, which is another one of these. It's not an escape room style game, but it is definitely a story puzzle style game. And Perspectives 1 is out now. Perspectives 2 is coming out at some point in future. We did the testing for it. Fantastic, right? All of the three cases from Perspectives 2 are much, much better than Perspectives 1. Perspectives 1 we enjoyed, but Perspectives 2 was a lot better. So if you got Perspectives 1, and I'm actually curious to know how many people watching this video have got Perspectives and have played it, because again, I think it's a fairly under the radar game. Let me know. But if you didn't enjoy it that much, but you enjoyed it a bit, definitely keep an eye out for Perspective 2. And I also did a rulebook consultancy and test for Stalker, new game from Awakened Realms, which is going to be coming out at some point in future. I don't know. But yeah, Awakened Realms commissioned me to basically do a rulebook consultancy and test for the rulebook that they've been writing for Stalker. I can't talk about the details because I'm not allowed to, but basically the process was, got the rulebook, we read through it, and then we tried to play the game from the rulebook, cross-referencing and looking things up, and then I spent a few hours giving them my feedback on the rulebook to them. So I'm not the editor of that rulebook. I have done consultancy for it. I have given all of that feedback to Awakened Realms. How much of that feedback they take on board is up to them, really. So yeah, I just want to get across the message, because I used to be a rulebook editor, and I don't want people to go, oh, Paul Grogan did consultancy for it, therefore the rulebook is going to be fantastic. For all I know, Awakened Realms might have taken all of my feedback, thrown it in the bin, and just gone ahead and done what they wanted. They haven't, I know that. But what I'm saying is, when I do rulebook consultancy for a publisher, they give me a rulebook, I tell them what I think of it, I give them detailed feedback, and then that's it. The job is over, I give it back to them. Most of the time, the publisher will take on board that feedback, and then they will make the appropriate changes. But ultimately, that's their choice how much they do. We didn't enjoy the game, though. So, yes, I'm looking forward to that coming out. Right, coming soon on the channel. Well, coming soon in general. This Thursday, I'm off to BayCon. BayCon is a local convention that's been running for 40 years. It's held near Exeter. And it starts actually tomorrow. It starts on the Wednesday, runs through to the Sunday. I'm going to be going there on Thursday, so I'm there Thursday, Friday and Saturday. I don't go to BayCon on the Sunday because it closes around noonish, so I have the morning here to basically tidy the house. And then what happens is some of the BayCon attendees will be coming to my house afterwards. So I've basically invited people who are going to be going to BayCon who think, yeah, 4.5 days of gaming is not enough. We want another few hours. So they're going to come around here in the afternoon and we're going to be doing some gaming. The game that I'm going to be playing is Inventions Evolution of Ideas, and I am going to be live streaming that for Patreon supporters. Again, the reason why it's going to be for Patreon supporters is I've not really played the game, and I do not feel comfortable doing a public playthrough video for a game where I'm basically stumbling through the rules. I will do one for the game once I'm really comfortable with the rules, but not while I'm in the state of this sort of not really understanding it properly. So that's happening this Sunday. You will get a link if you're a Patreon supporter of mine to the playthrough video this Sunday. More ISS Vanguard. We're playing tonight. So that'll be live streamed tonight and every Tuesday, although it might be moving to a Wednesday because of various reasons. But once a week, we're going to be continuing the ISS Vanguard campaign. On the 10th of April, I'm going to be going back to Reign of Hades. So I've already covered Reign of Hades twice on the channel, playing the tutorial scenario, which is the prologue, and then scenario one. I'm going to be playing through scenario two, and that's going to be happening on the 10th of April. And I'm going to be playing it with four players. So we're going to see how the team mode works, because the two previous videos that I did for Reign of Hades were two-player games. Now we're going to be playing four-player, and it has a very interesting team mode, and I specifically wanted to try it at four players, and I wanted to do a video at four players to show you how the game plays with that player count. So that's happening on the 10th of April. On the 13th of April, and I haven't told anybody this yet, but I'm going to be doing a solo game, and it will be down to my Patreon supporters to vote on which solo game I'm going to be covering. And that's going to be on Saturday, the 13th of April, because on the Friday, when I normally do playthroughs, we're actually away. We're going to the local library for some murder mystery crime drama thing. So yeah, there won't be anything happening on the Friday, the 12th of April. So instead, I'm going to do a solo playthrough on the Saturday. Arriving later today, and I'm surprised that the doorbell hasn't gone while I've been filming this video, is the new game in the Project L series. So Boardcubator, the publishers of Project L, have been resurrected after disappearing after a failed Kickstarter. They've come back and they've got a new Project L game, which is called Square One. It's not an expansion set to Project L, it is a standalone game, and it's going to be arriving later today, and I am going to be covering that on the channel. I'm going to be taking it to Bacon with me this weekend, but I'm going to be covering that on the channel. That's happening on the 19th of April. Also on the 19th of April, I'm going to be doing a playthrough of Earth with the new expansion, with the Abundance expansion, which is sat over there. I've already done an interview with the designer and Connor from Inside Up Games on that, which is on the channel if you're interested in watching that. And we're going to be actually doing a playthrough of it on the 19th of April. That's it. That's pretty much most of the plans. There will be some extra stuff going on in April as well, but it hasn't 100% been decided yet. So, other things that I wanted to tell you. One thing that happened during the live Q&A that we did in the middle of March is that somebody asked a question which related back to my first video that I put up on the Gaming Rules channel. Now, for those people who don't know, I actually did a couple of videos on Mage Knight and another game on my personal YouTube channel, the Paul Grogan YouTube channel, which has about 100 subscribers. And I actually, this is my very first YouTube video that I created, which was me doing a solo playthrough of Mage Knight. That is not on the Gaming Rules channel because Gaming Rules was not a thing at that point. But then when I decided that I kind of wanted to do this a bit more, I created the Gaming Rules brand, I created the company, and I created the YouTube channel. And my first video was a digitally animated how to play Tashkalar, which was a game from CGE and Vlada Shavatil, and I decided that was the game that I was going to do a how to play video of first. And there was a question about that video. And during the live Q&A, we looked up the date of that video, and it turns out that Gaming Rules is 10 years old. I missed my 10th year anniversary. Some channels are really good at, you know, advertising, oh, here's my anniversary, here's how many subscribers we have. I'm rubbish at doing that, absolutely rubbish at doing that. My PR person is currently asleep on the chair right there. But yeah, 10 years old. I mean, wow. it's been a difficult 10 years. It's been a journey. It's been an interesting journey, because in those 10 years, I have gone from creating these videos at weekends and evenings while I had a job, then giving up the job and doing it full time, doing loads and loads of 3D digital animations, then stopping doing those digital animations, doing a different style of video, then getting into rulebook editing, then a couple of years ago giving up rulebook editing, then when our internet got upgraded in Columpton about 4 or 5 years ago, starting to do live playthroughs, which I just simply wasn't able to do until then. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, launching the Patreon. So those 10 years have been, it's not always been the same. It's been a lot of changes in those 10 years. It's been a journey. And thank you very much to all of the people that have joined me on this journey, because I know some of you were there right from the start, and it's very much appreciated. And this journey is continuing, and we'll see where it leads us. Other things that we've done, I've been doing a bit more painting recently. I've had a bit of a painting hiatus, but I've done some painting. So I'm going to show you on screen now. These are some of the miniatures that I've painted since Christmas, really, because I don't think I've shown these. So these first ones are from Aeon Trespass Odyssey, and I'm sure I've probably put some of these pictures up there before. But this is the Hecaton from Aeon Trespass Odyssey. This is Labyrinthorus, which I was really happy with how this came out. This is the Hermesian Pursuer, which is one of the big bad guys that you can fight. And then this is the Alpha Temenos, which is absolutely huge. And then also on screen now is a picture of some of the Titans that I've painted. I've not painted all of the Titans, but since we're not playing Aeon Trespass Odyssey anymore, this has gone away. And one of the things that I've been wanting to do for a very long time is to paint more of the miniatures from Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth, because we are playing through the campaign and every so often the app tells us, oh, put these monsters on the board, and they're not painted. And considering how many of the miniatures from that game I have painted, I don't like the fact that we're using a mixture of painted and unpainted miniatures. So in the last week or so, I've managed to paint some more. So these are some of the spiders. Well, these are all of the spiders. I've also painted my character, Calaminth Took. I'm really happy with how this came out. A big thank you to Sarastro for the colour scheme. I've also painted the Balrog, because we're going to be meeting the Balrog. Well, I don't know if we're going to be meeting the Balrog or not, but our next adventure is going into Moria. So, and the Balrog was included as part of this expansion set. So I wanted to paint the Balrog before we actually met the Balrog. So yeah, been doing a bit of painting as well. That's about everything. So yeah, let's wrap things up. Thank you very much to everybody for joining me in this video log. Let me know, as I mentioned at the start, which of the games that I've talked about today has been your favourites, and also which games have I talked about today that you tried and did not like, and let me know why you didn't like it. And the contest, just as a reminder, you can enter the contest. The contest is going to run for about a month from today ish and it is to win a copy of Kingmaker 2nd Edition from Alan Paul of Surprise Dare Games. Now, all you need to do is click on the link in the description of this video and leave me a comment in this video and I will do the draw. I think that's everything. Oh, my throat is killing me. Right, time to edit this video in time and then head out and play ISS Vanguard tonight. See you all next time. Thanks for watching. Take care. Bye-byes.